This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
On the morning of February 24th, 2023, a man named Joseph Ryan walked into a brick front colonial in Herndon, Virginia. His expectation? That he was going to be doing it with a stranger. He'd been chatting with her for weeks on a website called FetLife. I'll let you guess what that's all about. Her name was Anastasia Nine. Her photo showed a petite woman in a one-piece bathing suit. She'd told him she wanted it rough. Knife play. A essay fantasy acted out in her bedroom while her husband was at work. That's what was presented on this website. You're like, people do that? I'm like, yeah, I kind of thought the same thing too. Like, seems. Anyway, Ryan showed up ready to play his part. He brought restraints, and according to prosecutors, he thought he understood the assignment. By 8 a.m., Joseph Ryan was dead, shot twice, once in the head and once in the chest, by two different guns, allegedly fired by two different people. And the woman in that profile photo, she was dead too, stabbed multiple times in the neck and upper body. Her name was Christine Banfield. She was 37 years old, a pediatric ICU nurse, a mother. And according to prosecutors, she had no idea her photo was being used to lure a stranger into her home. They allege she never created that account. She never sent those messages. She was asleep in her own bed when Joseph Ryan walked in expecting a fantasy. And walked into what prosecutors say was a trap. Yes, a trap. If you're new to the story, welcome. This is insane. And we're going to be following it with you. The trial is coming up very, very soon. So follow it with us. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening to this or watching this. We will have you every step of the way. Through this case. And if you want to, if you've not already, and you're probably going to have an opinion on this case in the comment section on YouTube. Let us hear them. And also Substack. In fact, if you want to get our videos a day in advance, the day before everybody else, tomorrow's news videos today, basically, check out our Substack, Hidden Killers. .substack.com. The link is in the description. So before we go any further, Brendan Banfield has pled not guilty to all charges and is presumed innocent until proven otherwise in a court of law. What follows, we're going to get into here, is the prosecution's theory of the case, the defense's counter-narrative, and the evidence as it's been presented so far. A jury will decide what actually happened. We're going to give you both sides so we can hear it. Looks pretty bad now, doesn't it? If he walked into this trap. And if the prosecution is right, this wasn't a home invasion gone wrong. This wasn't self-defense. It wasn't a meticulously planned double murder dressed up to look like one. Two people allegedly orchestrated the whole damn thing. Christine's husband, Brendan Banfield, and the family's 22-year-old live-in au pair. It's like a nanny from another country. Juliana Perez Megales. Prosecutors say they were having an affair. They wanted Christine out of the picture. And according to the prosecution's theory, they found the perfect patsy on a fetish website. A man who could be killed and blame for the very crime they allegedly committed. Yeah, all diabolical. Brendan Banfield wasn't some random guy. He was a federal agent. a criminal investigator for the IRS. Law enforcement, trained in evidence, procedure, how cases get built and how they fall apart. If you're going to frame somebody for murder, it helps to know how cops think. And according to prosecutors, Brendan Banfield thought of everything. He allegedly created the fake profile using a photo Christine had texted him a month earlier. I mean, just for a moment as we're going through, just think about how if he did this, how diabolical this is. That you would do this to your wife, the mother of your children, so you can have an affair with the au pair. There's divorce, kids. There's ways of doing other things. You're an IRS agent. I'm guessing you're probably not like rolling in the fucking dough. Who knows, though? I don't know. I don't know what, because you think like, well, why wouldn't someone just get divorced? Like assets and that sort of stuff. That usually ends up being a reason that people do horrible things. I don't know. This just seems like completely idiotic every way you look at it. If they did it. Prosecutors say he found Joseph Ryan on FetLife. It's not MetLife, it's FetLife. And started a conversation. They allege he had Juliana call Ryan on the phone, pretending to be Christine to confirm the details, the restraints, the role play, the time and place. Evidence presented in court shows he took Juliana to a shooting range months before the murder. Prosecutors say he purchased a Glock in January of 23, the same gun they allege was used to kill Ryan. He allegedly swapped out his phone for a new one in the days before the attack. And according to Juliana's statements to prosecutors, he installed sound-canceling windows in the house and had her stand in the driveway while he screamed from the bedroom just to make sure no one would hear what was about to happen. This is allegedly part of the plot to really make sure this place is going to be the perfect crime scene. It's not a crime of passion. If prosecutors are right, that's project management. The morning of the murders, according to the prosecution's timeline, Juliana left the house with the Banfield's 4-year-old daughter. The cover story was a trip to the National Zoo. She allegedly had a gun Brendan gave her that morning, hidden on her person. Prosecutors say Brendan drove to a nearby McDonald's to wait. Christine was asleep upstairs, her cell phone allegedly hidden in the kitchen so she couldn't call for help. And Joseph Ryan was on his way, thinking he was about to live out a fantasy with a willing partner. When Ryan arrived, he went to the master bedroom. Christine woke up to a stranger. What happened next depends on who you believe. According to prosecutors, Brendan came back to the house, entered through the basement with Juliana and the child, left the little girl downstairs and went upstairs with guns drawn. Brendan allegedly shot Ryan in the head. Then prosecutors say he stabbed Christine, his own wife, multiple times. Ryan was still moving, so Brendan allegedly told Juliana to get the second gun and finish him off. She allegedly did. And then, according to the prosecution's theory, Brendan Banfield staged the crime scene. Blood splatter evidence presented by prosecutors allegedly shows he smeared Christine's blood under Ryan's hands and arms to make it look like Ryan was the attacker. And at 7:47 a.m., someone at the house called 911 and hung up. 13 minutes later, a second call came through. Juliana sounded panicked. "A friend of mine is hurt," she said. Then Brendan took the phone. "I just shot a man. He was attacking my wife." When police arrived, they found Christine nude, bleeding out from stab wounds. Ryan was fully clothed, shot twice, already dead. The room was covered in blood. A knife, guns, and a bag of fetish accessories were scattered around. The Banfield's 4-year-old daughter was found in the basement with her jacket zipped up and a backpack on her shoulders, ready to go to the zoo. That never happened. From day one, Fairfax County Police didn't buy the story. There was no forced entry, and the 911 calls just didn't add up. And Juliana, who initially denied any romantic involvement with Brendan, had clearly been more than just the help, according to investigators. But proving it took a little bit of time. 8 months, in fact. During those 8 months, something remarkable happened. According to police, Juliana Perez Magalies moved into the master bedroom with Brendan Banfield, the room where Christine was killed, the room where Ryan's body had been found. When police returned to the house in October 2023, they found framed photos of Brendan and Juliana on the nightstand. Dated October 13th, her clothes were hanging in Christine's closet, and according to police, the little girl was calling Juliana mommy. Creepy, right? In October of 23, police arrested Juliana and charged her with second-degree murder in Ryan's death, but Brendan remained free for another full year. Wasn't until September 24, 570 days after the murders, that a grand jury indicted him on 4 counts of aggravated murder, 4 counts of for 2 deaths, because prosecutors wanted to cover every legal theory, premeditation, multiple victims. They also added charges of child abuse and cruelty because a 4-year-old was in the house while her mother was allegedly being stabbed to death upstairs. Days after Brendan's arrest, Juliana cut a deal. She pled guilty to manslaughter, a reduced charge, and agreed to cooperate fully against her former lover in exchange for prosecutors' recommended time served. She'd already been locked up for 1 year, and if she holds up her end of the bargain, she walks out of custody and gets deported back to Brazil. Her testimony is now the centerpiece of the prosecution's case. And here's what she told them. According to Juliana's statement to prosecutors, the affair started in August of 22, 6 months before the murders. By fall, Brendan was confiding in her that he wanted out of his marriage. She says she asked him if he was going to get a divorce. "That's not what I'm thinking about," he allegedly told her. He was thinking about finding a way to just get rid of her, out of the picture. She claims Brendan came up with a FetLife scheme, created the fake profile, found Joseph Ryan, and spent months grooming him for the role of scapegoat. She says she called Ryan on the phone pretending to be Christine to confirm the encounter. She says Brendan gave her a gun that morning and told her to shoot Ryan if he was still moving after the first shot. She says she tried to back out multiple times, but Brendan insisted it was too late. She says she didn't think he'd actually go through with it until he did. These details come from Juliana's cooperation, statements to prosecutors, statements the defense has challenged as self-serving and unreliable. If you believe her, Brendan Banfield is a cold-blooded killer who manipulated a young woman into helping him murder his wife and an innocent stranger. If you don't believe her, she's a woman who participated in 2 killings and is now pinning everything on the one person who can't contradict her because he's exercising his Fifth Amendment right to stay silent. And that's exactly where the defense is going. Brendan Banfield's attorney, John Carroll, has called the entire investigation a theory in search of facts. He argues that Christine Banfield, not Brendan, created the FetLife account, that she was the one communicating with Joseph Ryan, that she invited him to the house for a consensual affair, and something went horribly wrong. The defense points to a Fairfax County Police digital forensic examiner named Brendan Miller, who analyzed over 60 devices in this case. His conclusion? The evidence pointed to Christine, not Brendan, that the person behind the account, Miller, found that Christine was making plans with multiple men on FetLife, not just Ryan. His analysis was peer-reviewed and confirmed by the University of Alabama, and crucially, according to Miller's testimony, Brendan Banfield's phones did not appear linked to the FetLife accounts in any of the legal process returns. Prosecutors dispute Miller's conclusions and stand by their theory that Brendan Banfield created the account. But what happens next raised eyebrows. According to testimony, Miller was transferred out of his unit after his report diverged from the prosecution's theory. Deputy Chief Patrick Bush confirmed in court that he told Miller he would never be doing another digital forensics case in your major crimes bureau. The defense claims the lead detective was also reassigned. John Carroll told the court, "There are people being removed in conflict with the command staff. Let that sit for a second. The defense is arguing that the investigators who found evidence pointing away from Brendan Banfield were removed from the case, and the ones who stuck with the prosecution's theory stayed on. Whether that's a cover-up or just internal politics depends on your level of trust in Fairfax County law enforcement. But it's now part of the court record. Judge Penny Askeret ordered prosecutors to review all communications around those transfers and hand over anything that might help the defense. That's not nothing. And then there's the chaos behind the scenes, because there always is, isn't there? The lead prosecutor on this case was a deputy Commonwealth attorney named Eric Klingen. He was the one building the case against Brendan Banfield, presenting evidence at hearings, arguing for no bail in August of 2025. Fairfax County police found Klingen drinking alcohol next to his parked car behind a strip mall at 8 a.m. Body camera footage shows an open beer bottle on the hood and an empty bottle nearby. He told officers he was going to head to work and forget about all this. Klingen was placed on leave and removed from the case. The trial was delayed again. So now we have a prosecution built on the testimony of a woman who already pled guilty and has every incentive to cooperate. Digital forensic evidence that the defense says points away from their client. Investigators who were allegedly transferred for disagreeing with command staff, and a lead prosecutor who got pulled off the case for day drinking in a parking lot. That's the context walking into January of 2026. The trial is scheduled to begin in weeks. It's expected to last about 4 weeks. Cameras will be in the courtroom. Brendan Banfield faces 4 counts of aggravated murder, firearms charges, and felony child abuse. If convicted, he's looking at life in prison. Virginia abolished the death penalty in 2021. Juliana's sentencing has been postponed until after the trial to ensure her cooperation. Guess love doesn't win out all after all. If you're having the affair with the au pair, it doesn't end well. She doesn't stand by your side. Or she made up a story. I guess that's the question. The prosecution wants her to get time served. The defense wants to tear her apart on the stand. And then there's the daughter. She's 6 years old now. She was in that house when her mother was allegedly stabbed to death. She sat in the basement with her backpack on, waiting to go to the zoo. Prosecutors wanted to use a forensic interview she gave to police, arguing she's a victim of her father's alleged actions. The defense objected. The interview was conducted without parental consent. Judge ruled it cannot be used, so the jury won't hear from her, but she exists. She's out there somewhere, growing up in the wreckage of what allegedly happened in that bedroom. 2 people are dead. Christine Banfield spent her career in pediatric intensive care units, taking care of other people's children. Joseph Ryan was a 39-year-old man who lived with his grandmother in a small dog. He had no criminal history, no record of violence against women. His mother, Deidre Fisher, told reporters he'd never struck a woman in his life. You don't just all of a sudden wake up and decide you're going to be a killer, she said. Yeah, that's exactly what the defense wants the jury to believe, that Ryan came to that house intending harm and Brendan Banfield stopped him. The prosecution says Ryan was a victim twice over. First manipulated into walking into a trap, then killed and framed for a murder he didn't commit. They say Brendan Banfield used a federal agent's training to plan the perfect crime, and I say that in air quotes in case you're listening to the podcast, and almost got away with it. They say he and Juliana were communicating from jail after his arrest, allegedly talking about places to live in Brazil together. They say the photos, the gun range visits, the phone swaps, the sound canceling windows, the blood spatter evidence, all of it points to premeditation on a level that's almost hard to believe. And maybe that's the point. Maybe it is so elaborate, so calculated, and so brazen that a jury just might struggle to accept it. Reasonable doubt doesn't require proof of innocence. It just requires enough questions to make conviction feel rather uncomfortable. This trial will continue. It will come down to one thing, really. who was behind the keyboard. If the prosecution can prove Brendan Banfield created that FetLife account, catfished Joseph Ryan, and lured him into the trap to cover up the murder of his own wife, then Juliana Perez becomes the star witness in one of the most disturbing cases Virginia has seen in years. But if the defense can establish that Christine was living a secret life, that she invited a stranger into her bedroom for violent role play, and that Brendan walked in on something that spiraled beyond anyone's control, then the au pair isn't a cooperating witness. She's a woman who killed a man, blamed her lover, and negotiated her way out of prison. The only person talking is the one who already pled guilty. The husband hasn't said a word since he invoked his Fifth Amendment rights. And the woman whose photo started all of this, the pediatric nurse, the devoted mother, the woman who once wrote on Instagram about how au pairs became family, she can't tell her side. Whatever happened in that bedroom, she's the one who paid the price for it. January of 2026, Fairfax County, cameras will be rolling and we will be watching, and we'll be bringing you all the coverage right here. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. Be sure to give us your thoughts on YouTube as well in the comment section or on our Substack page, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the descriptions. And I want to hear your thoughts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, press subscribe as well and leave us a review. It will be greatly, greatly appreciated. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.